The reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, page 1157 in the Church Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me.
Well, good morning again, everyone. I'd like to start this morning by telling you a little about a man called the Reverend Creflo Dollar. The Reverend Creflo, isn't that a great name? And he's an American televangelist, and he's the founder of World Changers Church International in Atlanta in the United States. And he also heads up Creflo Dollar Ministries. And the clue to what sort of ministry this is in the name, Dollar Ministries. Here's Creflo. Got a picture of Creflo. I don't know how well you can see him, but there he is. And what he's doing here is he's asking his congregation to put their hands in their pockets to fund his private jet. Now, I think it's things like that, and there are plenty of them, that make us nervous talking about money in churches, isn't it? And we're quite right to be cautious. But let's be careful. Let's be sure we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Is it right for Christians to be talking about money? Is it right? Well, let the Bible answer that. There are a total, here's some statistics for you. There's a total of 31,173 verses in the Bible. And 2,350 of them are about money. That's almost 8%. Jesus told 38 parables in total, and 16 of them are about handling money and possessions. So maybe we just need to be, as God's people, a little bit less squeamish about talking about money and thinking about money. In the Crusades, some of the mercenaries were baptized holding their swords above the water because the idea was they didn't want Jesus to control their swords. And it just sometimes seems to me that it's as if some Christians are holding their wallets above the water. The Apostle Paul isn't hesitant about talking about money. The Apostle Paul has loads to say about money. He doesn't seem to be embarrassed. Not a bit. Martin Luther once said that everyone needs three conversions. First of all, he said, conversion of mind to the gospel truth. Secondly, a conversion of heart to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then thirdly, a conversion of purse or wallet, he said, the laying of one's money at Jesus' feet. Now, I think we are pretty open with each other at City Church about most things. You could go up to most people at coffee time after the service and talk to them about almost anything, except what their salary is. Somehow that's off limits. Now, I'm not saying we should be running around broadcasting what our income is at coffee time. Of course not. But let's put aside our very British reserve and try and engage with what Paul says here to the church in Corinth about money. Now, what I'm saying this morning, as Emily's already said, it's for you if you're a Christian, it's for you if you're a regular here at City, and if you're a visitor, well, just listen in and maybe wonder why on earth it is that we would be prepared to devote so many resources to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not asking for your money if you don't belong with us. But if you're a regular at City, this is for you. And it's right that we just remind ourselves that City is an independent church. So practically all our funding comes from the members at City Church and the regular attenders. There's no central funding from any denomination. It's all in-house. And this is a good opportunity for me to say on behalf of the church a big thank you to all of those of you who do give and give regularly and give generously, and some of you over many years, and nothing we do here, none of it would be possible without you. Anyway, let's look at what Paul says here. Paul's raising financial support for churches in Judea. And the immediate problem is there's been a severe famine in Judea. It's about 40 AD. And what Paul is doing is he's taking a collection for the Lord's people. That's what he says in chapter 16, verse 1 here. The collection for the Lord's people. Now, Paul has already been encouraging the churches in Galatia to be generous. Galatia's pretty much what we would now call Turkey. These are the churches that Paul planted in his first missionary journey. You can read about them in Acts 13 and 14. And Paul wants the Christians in Corinth to follow the examples of the Christians in Galatia. So he says in verse 1, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. Well, what was that, Paul? What should they do? Well, Paul sets out some very simple principles for giving. And he answers some very basic questions about giving. The sort of questions you and I might be asking today. And here they are. First of all, when should I give? Secondly, how should I give? And thirdly, what should I give? Very simple. And what I want to do in the next few minutes is just look at each of these in turn. When should I give? How should I give? What should I give? So, number one, when should I give? Look at verse 2 here. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money, says Paul. The first day of the week, that was the day when Christians began to meet in the early church, the day after the Jewish Sabbath, the day we now call Sunday. How often should we be setting aside money? The first day of every week. We should be making it our regular habit as God's people. It's worth saying we're creatures of habit, aren't we? If you want to achieve anything worthwhile, you've got to be organized. You've got to give yourself to it on a regular basis. That goes for playing a sport or learning a musical instrument or studying some topic or other. You've got to do it regularly. You've got to plan to do it. That's what we're like. And if we don't build things into our routine, then they're not going to happen. We're creatures of habit. Think of reading the Bible. Think of praying. If you don't set aside a regular slot for these things, a quiet time, then probably they're not going to happen. Not most of the time. So, Paul says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. That's each one of you. This is something individual. We don't pass round a collection plate during the service at City. That means no one else sees what you give. That means there's no temptation to show off by sort of flourishing a big wad of banknotes and popping them into the bag. No one sees what you give. No one knows what you give. And that's good. The elders at City have no idea what any of the members of City give financially. Only the church manager, Laurie, knows that. Except church members who don't give at all, because that's a pastoral issue. There's something wrong there. The elders know about that. But Paul says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. Literally, he says, each one by himself or herself. Probably it means in your own home. This is something private. This is something between the individual and God. There's no pressure by Paul here. There's no emotional appeal. There's no gimmicks. Paul isn't ranting on like Creflo Dollar. He isn't telling the church in Corinth to organize bring and buy sales or organize sponsored events. This is an issue between each individual and God. And Paul says, each of you should set aside money. So no exceptions here. There's no Christian who's too new a Christian to be giving something. There's no Christian who's too poor a Christian to be giving something. It's a demonstration of our unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone makes some contribution. So that's our first question. When should I give? Not just off the cuff, not just what I happen to find in my pocket on a Sunday morning, but thought through and planned in advance. Second question, how should I give? How should I give? Well, my giving should be a priority for me. This is the whole idea in verse 2 of setting money aside, of saving it up that Paul talks about. Now, if we really, as a church, as a membership at City, if we really got our heads around that, we wouldn't need a gift day at all, because our regular giving would do the job. But every year at City, we need to make up the shortfall in our budget before we go on to plan for the next year. So how should I give? Paul says, I should give as a priority. Not what's left over after I've done everything else I'd like to do and spent everything else I'd like to spend. If God is my creator and father, if Jesus Christ is my savior and Lord, then let me give them first place in every part of my life, including my finances. And when Paul says in verse 2, set aside a sum of money, the word he uses means store up, keep in store. This is about saving. We save for our holidays. We save to buy a house or a new car. We save for our children's education. We save for our retirement. These things are important to us. We set aside money for these things. Well, do we do that for God's work? It's our opportunity to be generous together as a fellowship. Now, many of us may have various good causes we give to as individuals, but church is where we can give together, as a church family, as a fellowship, discuss together, vote together how to use together what God has given us. Now, some money is used to run the church, to hire this building in the church office, to pay staff salaries. But our opportunities for outreach are huge. Just think of them. Think of our Sunday school. You've just seen them, this horde that charge down onto the blue mats and then disappear off into the classes. Sunday school is our biggest evangelistic works. 70 or 80 kids week by week. And some of them are getting saved. They are. City Youth. 12 to 14 youngsters, a number of them from unchurched families, week by week. The student work. How many of us were saved as students? The missionaries we support, both in the UK and overseas, Rachel being today's example up at the front, but we have a variety of missionaries. People we send to Bible college and on to ministry and support them financially as they do that. If you were here, was it last Sunday? Neil had this long catalogue of those people. Support for Barnabas Fund, Open Doors, Christians in Difficulties Overseas, Birmingham City Mission, the gospel in our own city. What a privilege to think and pray and decide as a fellowship how to take these things forward, how to spend money to make these things happen. Now, nearly everyone who gives at City as a church member gives by standing order. And that has huge advantages because the money leaves the bank before we ever see it. And it's just not available to us to spend in other things. It's automatically a priority. I guess the downside of standing orders is that we don't have to think about it. Our giving is sort of invisible to us. Maybe we ought to be thinking a bit more about giving. When Paul talks in verse 3 here about a gift of money for the churches in Judea, the word gift is the Greek word charis. It's the New Testament word for grace. And that's at the heart of our Christian faith, isn't it? What God did for us. The gift God gave us out of his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Now, God isn't asking us to give away everything. God isn't asking us to make ourselves poor. But let's just pause and reflect and remember that that's what Jesus did for us in order to stand in our place and take the penalty for our sins. Here's how someone's put it. His self-emptying was not a single loss or bereavement, but a growing poorer and poorer, until at last nothing was left him but a piece of ground where he could weep and a cross whereon he could die. He renounced all that heart and flesh hold dear, until, without friend or brother, without one tone of love, amid the mocking laughter of his slanderers, he gave up the ghost. When should I give? Week by week, regularly, planned. How should I give? Well, as a priority, before I do all the other things I'd like to do. And then our third question, what should I give? How much should I give? What should I give? What does Paul say? Does Paul say, give a tenth? A tenth of my income? A tithe? Like they did in the Old Testament? Well, no. No, that's not what Paul says. Paul says each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Literally, he says, give whatever you are prospered. Give whatever you are prospered. So how much we give depends on how much God has blessed us with worldly things. Well, how much has God prospered us? Perhaps a little perspective helps us think that through. 1.2 billion people in the world live on less than $1 a day. That means, in financial terms, you and I are wealthy. Very wealthy. Most of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are living on the tiniest fraction of what we have. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke's gospel. We read, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." So we have to think very carefully before we give a tenth and say, box ticked, duty done. Give whatever you are prospered is going to mean much more than that for most of us. And yes, some of us have student loans. Yes, some of us have retired. We have less to give. You have less to give. But if it's grace that motivates our giving rather than the law, what should that look like? Here's Paul again, writing to 2 Corinthians. Each of you should give not what you have decided, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. So, there are our three questions. When should I give? Week by week, regularly. How should I give? As a priority. What should I give? Not a tenth, but what God lays in my heart to give, according to how God has prospered me. And then some practicalities remain for Paul. Verse 3, when I arrive, he says, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. So Paul isn't going to sort of pocket the money and ride off into the sunset. The money is going to be administered by men from the congregation. Maybe Paul has in mind something that had happened quite recently, a few years previously. A lady called Fulvia had been converted, become a Christian in Rome, and she decided to send valuables to Jerusalem for the temple there. Well, so far so good. But the couriers taking these treasures absconded with the lot. And it caused such a scandal that the Emperor Tiberius banished all the Jews from Rome. In some churches in Africa, I've been to some of them, the pastor behaves like a tribal chief. And all the money people give go into his pocket. And then he decides, he gives out what he sees fit to whoever he thinks it's right to give to. Now, Paul isn't going there. Paul wants the church to choose people from the congregation to handle the money, men you approve, not just one man, men you approve. Management of money has to be seen to be honest. There's another advantage in standing orders, isn't it? There's no possibility of corruption there. And Paul says, I will send these men with your gift to Jerusalem. There's a sense in which sending a little posse of men with the money is wise. Traveling around with lots of cash wasn't safe, but they had no other option. There was no internet banking in the first century. There were no checks. There was only hard cash. The only way to get the money there was to take it literally as cash. As a church, over recent weeks, we've been trying to send a sum of money to one of our mission partners, Bruce Francis in Zimbabwe, and it hasn't proved possible. Banks there are just not set up for that. That means we have to wait until one of Bruce's family is going out there, out to Zimbabwe, and actually give them the money to take in person. Same thing here for this gift for the churches, for the Christians in Judea. But there are advantages too, because the Christians in Corinth and the Christians in Judea are part of the same family, aren't they? So what a blessing to meet face to face and hand over the gift in person. What a great demonstration of unity. Maybe I should go out to Zimbabwe to visit Bruce again, spend some time with him, take the money in my hand. Maybe that's what I should do. Well, as we finish, let me just say, I hope we're more responsive to Paul's instructions here about giving than the church in Corinth turned out to be. Sadly, Paul had to tackle the whole issue all over again in 2 Corinthians because the Corinthians had just failed to come up with the goods. You can read about what he said in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Perhaps the Corinthians needed reminded that everything we have comes from God in the first place. So giving is a little bit like buying a present for your father's birthday when you were a little child. Your mother tells you it's his birthday. She tells you what she'd like. She takes you to the shop because you can't go by yourself. She gives you the money. She buys the gift for you. She cuts the paper and the sellotape because you aren't allowed anything sharp. She gives you a pen to write the gift tag. She attaches the tag to the present, and you give it to your father. And he's just thrilled to bits. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we remember before you this morning that all we have, everything we have, comes from you. Help us to consider it a privilege and a delight to give back to you. Father, help us to do that as a family in the church together. Give us wisdom as we pray through these things. And Father, help us to be generous. Help us to recognize how much we have and to delight to invest it in your kingdom. Help us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich, and help us to delight to respond with generosity in his name. Amen.